vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Mark Patella. Hey, Mark, how's it going today?
It's fine. It's fine. I'm feeling more and more convinced that all of the power starts from the gut. You know, like the Japanese guys talk about hara, yeah?
Hara.
Yeah, you know, like harakiri.
No, harakiri.
Never mind. But anyway, hara is the gut, is the belly. That's the center of the warrior, right?
Where everything kind of comes from. Well, and when you think of it too, when you get determined, you know, you get centered. Everything is kind of in that area, going from. And even when we say center, what's the center of the body if it's not the gut, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about the Dirty Dozen today.
Oh, yes. Well, last time we got together, we talked about how the friend of yours lost a pile of weight just by eliminating sugar.
Yeah.
And I was closing the conversation with, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you must do is stop digging.
Exactly. So here are some of the holes that people find themselves in.
Or here's what you need to actually stop doing, you know, in the sense of your health. The digging involves the following. The dirty dozen.
So what's the number one thing to stop?
The absolute worst by far are artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
It's not a natural, people don't realize it, but you think that when it's called a diet soda, that it would be actually good for you. But it's probably the surest path to neurological damage, to diabetes, to multiple sclerosis, to migraines and other headaches and toxic effects. It's just unbelievable. You know, saccharin, the famous sweet and low, associated with bladder cancer. You know, how about NutraSweet, the famous aspartame and Equal?
Yeah.
Dizziness, hallucinations, headaches, depression, weight gain, epilepsy. I know of a woman. This is like, you know, not just, I heard of it somewhere, rumor. This is a, you know, a friend's direct contact. She was an MS wheelchair patient.
Dear me.
Done. Finally, somebody told her, you're drinking diet pops. Quit it. She quit it, and she first got out of the wheelchair, and then she got rid of her cane, and she's okay person.
Wow.
And if you think that this new one, the Splenda, the sucralose, is any better, it ain't much.
So if you need sweets, get them from raw sugar. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, who needs sweets?
Okay. Are you telling me I'm not going to have my chocolate?
Okay, let me say it this way. Sorbitol or xylitol are acceptable sweeteners.
Okay.
So like sorbitol gum or xylitol gum or you know those type of chewing gums sweetened with that are okay. So those are actually complex sugars. You know, like the simplest sugar is glucose and fructose, and then sucrose is a combination of glucose and fructose bound together into one molecule, and so on, right? There are these basic, simple sugars, and then we go into more complex sugars, and xylitol and the sorbitol and things like that are the more complex sugars. And they are still sweet, but they are more complex, so they don't have this crazy glycemic index that just fires you up.
Right.
But
what we don't want is our food to cause us problems, right? And unfortunately, that's what happens more times than not.
Oh, totally. You know, the refined sugar, whose consumption averages somewhere around 150 pounds per person per year, if I remember right.
So that's like a half a cup of sugar a day.
Okay.
That's a lot. That's like, holy smokes. How do I get that in my body?
Well, there are, I think it's 9 teaspoons of sugar in a single can of soda pop, if you're eating the natural.
Right.
So you can either get really killed by the diet drink, or you can get really fried by the regular.
The regular, yeah. Well, you keep saying you want to get rid of every vending machine in the world, and I can see why when we're talking about pop.
Yeah. And well, yes, pop. Then the next cousin to that is the chocolate bar.
Yep.
Right, which is, what is that usually made of? Some peanuts coated with caramel, coated with chocolate, or mixes of that sort.
Mr.
Right?
Big, the O. Henry bar.
Yeah, those.
Or how did they get the caramel in the caramel bar?
How did they get the bubbles inside of the Aero bar?
That's a good
one,
too.
That's an interesting. But anyway, so the chocolate bar is the second best, and then the third best is the donut.
The donut.
The donut. Yeah. I mean, here we have.
That's a combination that I think is
kind
of
flour.
Scary.
We have refined flour.
Yeah.
Dipped in refined sugar.
Fried.
Fried in refined fat.
Boy.
And then again, coated in sugar for effect, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't coated in the sugar, you wouldn't be able to stand it.
Actually, I don't. Well, I don't know. When I was a kid, my mom made homemade donuts.
Oh.
You know, like they were raised dough. You know, the same dough that you would have dumplings or buns or whatever, right? Maybe mm-hmm. with some extra sugar added. And she would make these blobs of this dough, and she would throw them into this oil on the stove, where they would fry.
Huh.
It turned golden. They were pretty good. You didn't have to coat them in sugar. But the trouble with us is that our taste buds love it.
Yes. Well, and why is that? Is that a learned thing, or is that just we're unfortunate? Or
I think we're unfortunate. I think we have a natural attractiveness to sweet. Because, you know, the sweetness denotes ripeness. So in nature, when I go berry hunting, right, a cranberry, or never mind that, blueberry that's not ready to be eaten is sour as hell.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's ready to be eating, it's still astringent, but it has sweetness to it.
I think you've hit a very good point, and that really explains it to me. I went for a walk today, and to my surprise, along the river were some salmon berries. Now, I thought the salmon berries would be 3 weeks to a month, 2 months away, and I think they actually are, but this was a mutant salmon berry bush because it had 7 ripe salmon berries on it. And how do I know? I ate them all.
You tasted them, and they were good.
They were good. So, yeah, and you see, I have eaten an unripe salmon berry. And I have to tell you, that is not
a good experience.
No, it's like, that's so sour. So I get it. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like we needed to have that taste and that desire for one taste versus the other to survive, assuming that eating, you know, ripe fruit is better than eating unripe fruit.
I think it is.
I think it is too. And you know, here's another really sad commentary since we're talking about ripe fruits. For most of my life, I didn't like apricots.
Oh, yes.
And the reason that I didn't like apricots, I discovered about 5 years ago, was every apricot I have ever eaten in my life, up until 5 years ago, were green.
nobody told you have to wait for them to ripen.
I didn't know what a ripe apricot looked like. So I was in the Okanagan, which is known for apricots, and it was apricot season, and someone said, try this. And I go, are you kidding? I can't stand it. No. It's really good. Try it. I thought they were amazing.
Which they are.
And they are, yeah. And I realized at that point that for, you know, almost 50 years, I had been eating very green apricots, which, of course, was why I didn't like them.
Yeah. And the same problem we will encounter with underripe tomatoes or underripe avocados. because those are fruits as well, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But you, by the way, you do know the difference between the fruit and vegetable, right?
A fruit has got seeds in it, and a vegetable doesn't.
Right, but also, fruit needs to ripen to the ripeness before it's ready to be eaten. The vegetable you can pick at any stage of its growth, and it's the same.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. That's
You can pull a baby carrot the size of your pinky, or the monster carrot the size of your forearm, and they will be essentially same, or at least similar.
Right, right. Well, that makes total sense, because we have baby carrots in there. You have the regular carrots, and there's not a huge difference in it. But, of course, if you've got a green tomato and a red tomato, you know there's a huge difference, and obviously with fruit.
Right. So the biggest enemy of all, the sugar that's hiding, is the high glucose, or what is it called? HFCS, high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Beware. Read your labels.
And be aware that fructose and high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup are not good.
No. Because your body is not capable of dealing with these industrial, refined things. It's the difference between what's good for you and what's not is the refining process. The more refined it is, the more concentrated it is, the worse it is. And somehow we have been duped into thinking that sugar needs to be clear, like Snow White. That's the good thing. In fact, that's how it was sold to the masses, that the dirty old molasses or whatever it was not worthy of you because you were better people. Ah, clever advertising. Anyway, so let's move on to number three of the Dirty Dozen, and that is MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is a fantastic agent when it comes to hydrolyzing your proteins. That's another name by which it can be hidden. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein.
Oh, okay.
It's MSG is fantastic at pickling your meats, as part of marinades. This is fantastic. And some body types seem to handle it better than others. I mean, MSG has been a staple in Chinese food.
Yes, we often hear about it being in Chinese food.
Right, and it's really, that they use all these aged and fermented and pickled and marinated things in their cooking. But for most ordinary folks, this is deadly. Deadly, deadly.
And children are about four times more sensitive to it than adults, so you really want to make sure your kids don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the people that react to it start usually with a headache. It's flushing, you would get sort of like a weird sensation all around your body, hands swelling, your tongue is swelling, your lips are swelling, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a headache. Headache is a good one.
Huh.
And then some people get really serious, like burning on the back of the neck or heart rate or breathing problems. Anyway, those are the more serious cases. Just watch out. Monosodium glutamate, hydrolyzed protein, autolyzed yeast, caseinate, or sometimes they hide it.
Oh, caseinate.
Yeah, that's actually from milk. Anyway, the one last one is the universal natural and artificial flavors.
So monosodium glutamate is a natural or artificial flavor.
Well, it can be hiding inside of that grab bag term that describes everything else.
Right, right.
I mean, it's not the end of the world if you have a pinch of it, but it certainly isn't going to do you a lot of good if you stay on it. It's a neurotoxin.
Right, so what happens with MSG?
Well, the biggest thing with MSG is this. When it's added to foods, it causes you to crave them. So you eat more than you would otherwise, and you become addicted to the food itself.
So that explains why people would be quite happy to add this to their food.
Oh, absolutely. The fast food manufacturers would just you know, they want you there because you will have to supersize it. And not only that, you will crave it tomorrow.
So basically it's turning drugs into an addictive food into an addictive substance.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Something screwy about that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's another beautifully refined thing. So number four, artificial colors.
Artificial colors. So these are fake colors.
Well, they're again, industrial concentrated things, you know, like the famous red dye number 40. I don't know if you know.
I do remember that, yeah.
You know, they're that's used in soda, candy, gelatins, pet food, sausage. And there's some issues with it. I think it's a carcinogen. And, you know, people who have multiple chemical sensitivities don't do too well with these colorings. You know, if something looks nice and blue, you know, like it's a dark blue ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably not good for you. Or you remember kids leaking these weird candies, you know, that make your tongue all these different colors?
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to remember the name of it. I think it's called Gobstopper or something like that. It's this ball of sugar that's got layer upon layer of different colored sugar layers that have been put together using the artificial food colorings. Anyway, does butter need to be yellow like gold? Or does your soda drink need to be red colored? I just saw an advertisement on television again where there's this woman having difficulty drinking her glasses of water. She's just, you know, having trouble. But crystal light. Now there is the rescue. These little finger-sized baggies that you rip open and dump into a glass of water. And it's this artificial crystal, I don't know, something like Tang, or do you remember those things?
Yeah, Tang.
Okay, and it's going to be sweetened with aspartame, and it's going to be colored with something like red dye number 40. Yum.
Yum, yeah, that's
just remember,
right.
Yellow number 6 can cause tumors in the adrenal glands and kidneys. It's used in beverages, sausage, baked goods, candy, and gelatin. This is famous Jell-O. If it's yellow, it's got, dye number 6. Okay, number 5, BHA, BHT. That's a bit of a toss-up because this fasting prevents rancidization of fats. So if you're going to, it's typically found in baked goods, you know, potato chips and what we call it, Twinkies?
Yeah, Twinkies.
You know, those type of things. You would be using that in shelf-stable baked goods so that they don't rancid out. So for one thing, there's something good about them because they will prevent ill effects of rancid fats. On the other hand, they are associated with liver and kidney damage, baldness, behavior problems, cancer, fetal abnormalities, and slower growth.
Right.
That's not good.
Everything has a price.
Yeah. Yeah, and the price is, yes, we can have cheap crackers on the shelf instead of having to bake it ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But the natural way would be we have the grain, the whole grain unmilled, right, sitting in a sack in the basement, or maybe hanging somewhere on the rafter in the whatever. Just nice, dry grain. And then I take a scoop of the grain, I feed it to my flour mill, and I mill it just fresh, and then I bake with it.
Yeah.
I can make crackers with it. All I have to do is just make flour breads, unraise them, and bake it in the oven. There they are.
And you make enough to eat.
Well, you know, they'll be good for a few days.
You know, yeah.
A loaf of bread will last you a few days. I'm no advocate of grains, but if you're going to do it, it's the shelf-stable goods are cheap because they can be mass-produced, but the price is high.
Yeah.
The societal price is high. I guess what should be said is that the cheap price at the checkout is more than overpowered by the bills that's delivered to you later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's the classic of not thinking holistically, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we have that same problem when you look at garbage, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's okay to throw it in the ocean. Holy Moses. The people are chasing over some down airplane in the Atlantic. They're finding all kinds of stuff. Oh, it's not from the airplane. It's garbage that's just floating in the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, they finally found it, but they were many false calls. Okay, number six, sodium nitrate and nitrite. This is for your cold meat lovers. This is processed meat like bacon, beef, corned beef, ham, hot dog, lunch meat, sausage. This is to prevent the growth of bacteria and to enhance the coloring. Because the sulfites, there's sulfites as well that I didn't mention. They make the meats look nice and pink. But unfortunately, it's carcinogenic. So the good thing is that you prevent botulism.
Hmm.
The bad thing is you're causing colon cancer.
Okay, Martin, we're halfway through the Dirty Dozen, and I think it's time for a break. So we're going to continue with the last six of the Dirty Dozen next time when we come back. Now, we've talked about artificial sweeteners, saccharin, NutraSweet, the dangers of refined sugars, what MSG can do to you that you don't want to have happen, why artificial colors are colors you should avoid, about BHAs and BHTs, sodium nitrates and nitrites.
Nitrites.
I was going to say nitwits.
all of those. Oh. They're all awful.
And those are only the first six of the Dirty Dozen. We've got six more, and you're going to find out about them next time, so make sure you tune in. So, Martin, okay. If somebody had some questions about maybe these first six of the Dirty Dozen or other issues around their health and they want a holistic, maybe going at it from a causal perspective, how could they get a hold of you?
Right, indeed. Life Enthusiast Co-op at the website, life-enthusiast.com. Go read some more. The phone number is 1-866-543-3388. Or if you're outside of North America, it's 775-299-4661. I just want to say, we would much rather if you called us for the foods that cause you to feel even more energized, more healthy, instead of having to call us for, I got this illness with this itis and otis on this end, or I got this such and such syndrome the doctor told me I had, and do you have something for that? I would just as soon talk to people who are saying, I'm feeling pretty good, but can you help me feel better?
Mm-hmm.
So call about that too, okay?
That's why we talk every week two or three times, because I feel pretty good. And I know that the Exela and all the other great products at the Life Enthusiast Co-op have a big part in that. And thank you for it.
Okay, well, thank you for being here. So this is Martin for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thanks for listening.